Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. The image of Christ, our Good Shepherd, is perhaps one of the most beloved images of Christ that we have in the Christian church. Perhaps one of the most ancient as well. Of course, it comes from our Lord's own self-description, and yet very early we see that description depicted in Christian artwork. When we ourselves think of Christ as our Good Shepherd, and we his flock, normally what comes to mind are the images found in Psalm 23 or in our Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel. The green pastures, lying down, feeding on good grazing land, and so forth. And while by God's grace that is true for us, Jesus' little lambs, Christ our Good Shepherd is not taking it easy. He's not resting beside the still waters. He's not laying down in the green pastures. The texts from Holy Scripture appointed for this Good Shepherd Sunday, the third Sunday of Easter, present to us a very busy shepherd, an active shepherd, a shepherd who is not resting, but rather hard at work, who takes his responsibility as shepherd very seriously, even if it means great personal cost to himself. Think back to those scripture lessons you heard a few moments ago. Our Lord Jesus is the subject of nearly all the verbs in those passages. And it must be so, for Christ is our Good Shepherd. We are his sheep. And I would assume that throughout the years you've heard enough sermons on this passage and this image to know what sheep are like. Sheep are defenseless, often oblivious to their surroundings, rather unintelligent. It's the nature of sheep to wander off or to lag behind the flock. Sheep get distracted when they see one tuft of grass. They go to nibble at it, and then they move on to the next and to the next, and before long, they're alone, for they have no awareness of their surroundings. And this is why, even to this day, people tend to call others with whom they disagree sheep. They don't think for themselves. They just follow the herd. They're easily led astray. But Jesus would disabuse us of any notion that we are greater than sheep, for he says that we all alike are sheep. We may think that we are cleverer or braver or stronger, more independent than the great majority of humanity, but before God, you are a sheep. Not a sheepdog, not a wolf, not a lion, not any other creature that you can imagine. You're a sheep. But this is what you ought to be. This is what you want to be. For Christ is the Good Shepherd of sheep alone. He suffered for sheep alone. He laid down his life for sheep alone. He knows and cares for his sheep alone. If you are in fact a sheep, then you can take great comfort in this good news that Jesus Christ is your Good Shepherd. He is the shepherd for you. And it's with that in mind that we can then consider the lessons from Holy Scripture today, where we find exactly what our Good Shepherd has done and continues to do and will do for us, his flock. To summarize the works of the shepherd, he seeks out and rescues his flock. He brings out and gathers his flock. He watches over and he tends his flock. He makes his flock lie down and he gives to them rest. So to start out with, the Good Shepherd seeks out his flock and he rescues them. Now this implies that the flock, the sheep, are in great danger and they are lost. And yes, that is true. There are many enemies who would cause harm to the sheep, who would devour them, would eat them up. Just before our Old Testament lesson begins this morning, the Lord rebukes the wicked shepherds of Israel, who saw the sheep as a tool to be used or a meal to be devoured. They used the sheep to satisfy their own greedy desires. They're like the hired hands who care nothing for the sheep and thus flee, leave the sheep behind when they see the wolf coming. We know who these wicked shepherds are. We know who these hirelings are. They are those who are false teachers, who use the gospel as only a means to their material comfort, who see the church only as tools to be used, who see the people as only a group of people from which to derive more and more funds, money, comfort. Why should they care whether or not the sheep wander away, so long as there are still enough to feed them and clothe them? And then, of course, you have the wolf that would snatch and scatter the sheep. That is the devil. He does this through deception, a wolf in sheep's clothing, so to speak. For as you know, the devil often appears as an angel of light. Though he appears quite attractive, the devil would drive the sheep away into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. He would lead the sheep away from their only comfort and source of strength, the Good Shepherd, into isolation, doom, and death. But we should also note that while there are, in fact, many enemies who are responsible for misleading and deceiving and even destroying the sheep, again, hirelings, false shepherds, and wolves, you, the sheep, are not totally without blame yourself. Quite the opposite, in fact. God is clear, and we heard this on Good Friday, that you, like a sheep, have wandered and gone astray by your own sins. You, like a sheep, turned away from your good shepherd and his way to your own way, a way that leads only to hell. Again, yes, there are false teachers who would fail to watch over the sheep. There is a wolf who would devour you, soul and body and all. And yet, at the same time, you can blame no one but yourself for your lost and condemned condition. You are guilty of sin. You are guilty of wandering. Yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were lost, Christ, the Good Shepherd, sought us out and rescued us. He is the one who did the work for your salvation. He is the subject of the verbs again. He did not flee from the wolves like the hired hands, nor did he seek the sheep for his own material comfort and gain. Instead, he gave everything for his flock. He served them to the end, loving them to the end, laying down his life for the sheep. And so we heard from the Apostle Peter, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. For his flock, in place of his flock, the good shepherd Jesus offered himself to be devoured by the wolf. But when he died, death and the devil suffered their ultimate defeat. And the true victory was won by the good shepherd who bore in his body our sins on the cross, who gave himself up to rescue the sheep from death. What better name is there for the day in which the good shepherd won the victory than Good Friday? For by his wounds you have been healed. But of course, as we are currently celebrating in this Easter season, the good shepherd who had authority to lay down his life had the authority and exercised the authority to take up his life again. If you were at Matins earlier this week or last week on Wednesday, you heard this lesson from Hebrews, this benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It is because God has brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus that he has become the great shepherd of the sheep. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, and thus he is your good shepherd indeed. And we can consider that last word in two ways. Not only is he risen truly and a good shepherd, truly, he is also risen in his deeds. He is a good shepherd in his deeds. He proves that he is alive by what he does. Again, upon his resurrection, our Lord Jesus did not take it easy. He did not sit back and relax at the Father's right hand. He continues to carry out his duty as the good shepherd. He continues to act in deeds on behalf and for the sake of you, his flock. And so, as we go on, we see the good shepherd brings out the flock and he gathers them. St. Peter concludes the second chapter of his epistle by calling Jesus the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Another way to translate that phrase is pastor and bishop of your souls. That is to say, our Lord Jesus Christ exercises a churchly office. His work is in the church. As Ezekiel prophesied, Christ brings out his sheep from the peoples and gathers them from the countries and brings them into their own land. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ, our good shepherd, has called you out of the darkness of this fallen world into the marvelous light of his church. In fact, that's what the word church in the original Greek language means. Called out. Called out of your former wanderings. Called out of darkness. Called out of death. And returned to the shepherd and overseer, the pastor and bishop of your souls. So we confess that the Holy Spirit calls you by the gospel, enlightens you with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps you in the true faith. But he does not call you from wandering in isolation to a one-on-one relationship with the Good Shepherd. Rather, as we continue, in the same way the Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus in the one true faith. You are brought out of isolation in the wilderness of this world, isolated and lonely because of your sin, and then you are brought into a communion, a fellowship, a flock, gathered together with fellow sheep in one fold, under Christ, your one shepherd, a flock consisting of sheep from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. How does Christ the Good Shepherd do this? Bringing out wandering sheep, bringing them into the fold. He does so through the gospel, through the good news of his death and resurrection for sinners. This is why one of the definitions of the church is this: holy believers and lambs who hear the voice of their shepherd. Where the gospel is taught purely and the sacraments are administered rightly, there is Jesus the Good Shepherd, seeking out the lost sheep, rescuing them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. The Lord Jesus brings out his sheep and brings them home. But his work isn't done yet. For there in the flock, in the fold, our Lord Jesus watches over his sheep and he tends to them. He is truly the pastor and bishop of our souls. And so he wills to shepherd and oversee our souls through pastors, through the ministers of the gospel. After our Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he gave this threefold commission to Peter: feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And so it's through Peter and the apostles and those who follow in their footsteps in the office of the ministry that the good shepherd continues his work of feeding his sheep, binding them up and strengthening them in the word, in the divine service, in the church. For here, the absolution of your sins binds up all those injuries they have caused. Here, the word of God, read and preached, strengthens you in your weakness. Here, the sacrament of the altar, Jesus' very body and blood, feeds you with good and rich things. Here, the good shepherd is watching over you and tending to you, feeding you, caring for you. Now, to be sure, outside of these walls, there remains a world filled with clouds and thick darkness. There are many hired hands out there who still only care for themselves. There's still a wolf prowling around seeking whom he may devour. There are no shortage of enemies outside the church, even perhaps within the church, who would try to draw you out of the true fold, out from the shepherd's watchful eye. But do not be afraid. because you are part of Jesus' flock, because he is your good shepherd, he knows you, and he says you know him. And Jesus says that the knowledge that you share one with another is the deepest kind of knowledge that exists in heaven and on earth. For as Jesus himself says, the knowledge of the good shepherd and his sheep is just as God the Father and God the Son know each other. The knowledge that is only possible in the Holy Spirit, who is also God himself. The Father and the Son know and love one another in the Holy Spirit, so also you are known and loved by Jesus in the Holy Spirit, that Spirit who has been given to you in your baptism, the Spirit who lives in you, the Spirit who teaches you to know the voice of your good shepherd, so that you might hear and follow him all the days of your life. You know and you love Jesus because of the Holy Spirit. And so as you are tended and nourished here in the church by the Good Shepherd through his word and sacrament, you grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our Lord has one more work that he does for you, one more deed on your behalf. In the end, Christ, your Good Shepherd, will make you lie down and give you rest. In perfect time, he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, to separate the sheep from the goats. The goats, that is, those who rejected him in unbelief, will depart from him into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But as for you, his sheep, he will lead you finally out of this valley of sorrow, this valley of the shadow of death, to the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In that place, there will be no more wicked shepherds, no more hirelings, no more wolves. Like the fat and the strong, Christ will destroy them. But for those who are sheep, truly members of his flock, who know his voice and who have followed him, for them will come the rest. For them will come the peace and quiet. For them will come that green pasture with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, free from care, free from suffering, free from sorrow, free from sin, free from death. That day is coming, and once it dawns, it will never end. But it hasn't dawned yet. For now, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, is still hard at work. For he does not want the death of any sinner, but that all turn from their evil way and live in him. And so Christ, our Good Shepherd, is still out there, searching and seeking and bringing out and gathering and feeding and binding up and strengthening. Christ is still working through his word, through his sacrament, so that he might rescue those sheep that are still lost and bring them safely into the communion of his one flock. He is still working so that those who are part of his flock might be tended and fed as he forgives their sins daily and richly, and heals all their wounds. Christ is still working until that day when he will make his flock lie down in green pastures, and there they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.